Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley McManus, Senior Director of Global Marketing at Sparti. Welcome to the Human-Centric AI Podcast, where each episode we feature thought leaders doing cutting-edge work in the AI space. A little bit about us. Sparti is the global leader in human insight AI, technology that understands, supports, and predicts human behavior in complex environments, bridging the gap between humans and machines for a safe and sustainable future. Today, our technology is embedded in next-generation vehicles, leading the way towards human-centric mobility through driver monitoring systems and interior sensing solutions. Our research instruments offer unparalleled insights into automotive, aviation, assistive technology, behavioral science, and many more fields. We have a special episode for you today where we are delving into the groundbreaking world of AI art expression for those with motor neuron disease, or MND, such as ALS. We spoke with guests Franklin Williams and Evan Schmidt from the Area 23 Agency, along with Richard Cave from the MND Association. Richard Cave is a speech and language therapist working with the MND Association and also with Google, providing specialist speech therapy consultancy to the technology teams. He is also a PhD candidate at University College London, National Advisor to Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists for Voice Banking, and 2022 Allied Professional of the Year recipient from the International Alliance of ALS MND Associations. Then from Area 23, we have Franklin and Evan. As EVP, Executive Director of Experience Design, Franklin is an ideal blend of creativity, user experience, and technology, and has been using his passion for innovation to elevate the importance of experience design in the advertising industry for nearly 20 years. Franklin's digital experiences have won him multiple awards at Cannes Lion, Clio Awards, and MM&M, a number of recognitions in PM360, and the opportunity to sit on and chair juries across Cannes Lion and Ad Age A-List Awards. He's also been a panelist at multiple DE&I roundtables with the ad industry and was named one of MM&M's 40 Under 40. Then along with Franklin, we also have Evan Schmidt, Associate Creative Director of Art at Area 23. Evan is a dynamic creative fueled by an unwavering passion for AI art. With a background in illustration and a flair for innovation, he seamlessly integrates AI algorithms into his artistic vision, crafting visually stunning and thought-provoking pieces. Together with the team at Area 23, an IPG health company, Evan helped to develop the Mind's Eye app. Mind's Eye is the world's first AI art expression tool for people with MND-ALS. As an associate creative director, Evan inspires his team to embrace the transformative power of AI, creating a new era of visually captivating, intellectually stimulating experiences. In our conversation, we unraveled the journey behind Mind's Eye, exploring its purpose, unique features, and the impact it has on the lives of its users. We also uncover the synergy between Mind's Eye and the Sparti assistive technology partner Smartbox, who use our eye tracking to help give a voice to those who are unable to. The pivotal role of eye tracking technology, and we also will hear some inspiring user stories. Evan has an exciting call to action also for our listeners to try Mind's Eye in Grid, which is the Smartbox product, with a 60-day free trial for Windows or a 30-day free trial for iPad at thinksmartbox.com/trygrid. So let's get ready for a deep dive into the transformative realm of Mind's Eye and the evolution of human-centric AI. Let's listen in to learn more. Okay. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining. With me today, I have Franklin Williams and Evan Schmidt from Area 23 Agency, as well as Richard Cave from MND Association. Evan, Franklin, and Richard, thank you so much for making the time to speak with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. So to kick us off here, can each of you maybe briefly introduce yourselves, your role, and maybe share your career path of what led you to work with or at MNDA? Maybe we'll start with you, Richard.
Okay. Lovely. Yeah. My name is Richard. I'm a speech and language therapist, or an SLP, as they say in the US. And I work with the MND Association. I work with people living with motor neuron disease, or ALS, as it's called, in the States and in other parts of the world. So I'll mention those interchangeably, but I mean the same thing. And I work at Google part-time on technology to make sure that everything, as far as possible, is inclusive and accessible, and for always thinks about people living with disability, including ALS, MND, and many other conditions. And I'm a PhD candidate at UCL. And the you know, it sounds like a lot of work. It is a lot of work, but it's all about the same thing. It's all about the same thing. It's about using technology to help people live their lives who are living with disability, to include them. And that's why I'm so excited to be here to talk about this amazing Mind's Eye project. And I'll hand over to Evan.
Thank you, Richard. I'm Evan Schmidt. I'm a creative with Area 23, an IPG health company. And I work with a lot of teams. We work on special projects at Area 23, and Mind's Eye was one of those projects that we chose to develop, and we couldn't be happier about the project and how it turned out. So I'm very excited to get into it. I'll pass it to Franklin.
Thank you. And very quickly, in short, I kind of started my career as a technologist, and I think over time realized that the technology enough wasn't enough to actually bring solutions to people. You need to understand them. You need to understand their problems. You need to understand who they were and what their challenges were. And so really thinking about the user experience and the design of a product really led me to where I am right now. So I'm also at Area 23, an IPG health company, as the head of experience design, and really focused on making sure that the end user really wants to use the thing that we create and really needs the thing that we make. Because without that, then we're just making art.
Okay, so let's start to kick things off kind of talking about this topic here today, which is the product Mind's Eye, right? So I would love to just understand broadly, you know, talking about Mind's Eye and its purpose, and ultimately, you know, what's the pitch for it? Why would someone use it? What is it?
I can start with that. So the general premise is that Mind's Eye is an application that allows someone who doesn't have access to the traditional generative AI tools to be able to create generative AI artwork using, in this case, specifically just their eyes. And so we really tried to craft this tool in a way that wasn't just make art, but instead find a new way to communicate, find a new way to express yourself. But we had to really start thinking about the user challenges, which were, if you're only typing, you know, one character at a time with your eyes, trying to type out some of the prompts that we're looking at that are, you know, maybe hundreds of characters long sometimes, how can we get there faster to still be able to create this beautiful artwork, make it really useful, but at the same time, minimize the amount of time. So that's really the essence behind what makes Mind's Eye special and what makes it different than all the other tools that are out there for the kind of common user out in the world.
Absolutely. I think the way I got into it was I was obsessed with AI artwork. And then what further down the line, it became a way for people to express themselves. Like it became such, yeah, so much more. It became a communication tool. And I think that was one of the most powerful things that I watched along this journey happen. And it really, for me, at the end of it, it came down to it's this idea that a picture is worth 1,000 words, you know, and you think that it can cut through communication so quickly and just really enhance that connection between two people or multiple people. So just a really powerful experience.
And I agree totally with what Franklin and Evan said. Mind's Eye is about communication. That's what this is. Mind's Eye helps people who may not have speech or may have difficulty accessing, may have great difficulty communicating at any speed at all, to share their views, opinions, dreams, whatever they want to do through art. That's what Mind's Eye does. And it's been fascinating to see what people living with ALS MND have done with it. So it's just like Franklin says, that if you have difficulty with speech, like almost all people living with ALS MND will eventually have, then they can type using whatever modality they have through SmartBooks a message, or just have fun, whatever, and it will generate art, unique AI-generated art. It's a fantastic tool. And this is like, you know, everyone talks about AI. Every meeting I go to, it's AI. And yet, you know, the only kind of people that I think are being excluded from AI are the people that might benefit from it most. And those are our vulnerable communities, including MNDLs, but a myriad others, many, many other communities. And it's just as an example, you know, AI art for expression. We worked with 5 people living with MNDALS throughout this project to actually get their feedback and inclusion. Because if we're building something for them, let's have them.
Right.
And we had them right at the front, and they gave feedback and all the rest of it. And it's fascinating the different kind of use cases that people have been generating AI generated art for. I mean, the first is, you know, to have fun. It's like, you know, it's no fun having MND. I know it's stating the bleeding obvious, but it's absolutely no fun. And actually having something that they can access and actually enjoy to generate stuff, generate images, the fun, humorous, whatever they like, they can just go and do it, courtesy of Smartbox, because Smartbox have enabled all the access. The next use case is for personal reflection. You know, there are no dress rehearsals for ALS MND. Nobody expects it, but it happens. And people with MND have said that they use Mind's Eye as a way to think about where they are, to kind of just think in different, beyond words.
Yeah.
Beyond words. Another person says that he uses it to share how he feels. He lives in a care home, and through no fault of his own, this is due to funding, most of the people in the care home have a completely different condition. They have dementia, and that's it's just really difficult to kind of be in there. And so he uses Mind's Eye to communicate how he feels with the carers and others. And I suppose the last thing really is that, you know, when you are literally locked in and have real difficulty to communicate, it's really hard to demonstrate competence that actually you're still there. And most of the time, almost all people living with ALS-MND are the same inside that they always were. They still have the same thinking skills, the same competencies, the same everything. Just outside, people see them differently because they are disabled and they have difficulty speaking. Mind's Eye enables them to demonstrate competence. And it's a really powerful thing. You know, this AI-generated art is fabulous. But the problem has been, it's not been in the hands of the people that could really benefit from it until now.
Perfect. Awesome. You've hit on a lot of different points. I definitely want to unpack a little bit more. But you mentioned Smartbox a few times. So for listener context, we were all connected through our partner, Smartbox. So I was wondering if someone could explain that relationship, how it came about, and its significance to Mind's Eye.
I believe it was the quick little demo that we put together in November of last year, where we saw that a lot of the end user, like the people that we wanted to make this for, were using Grid, Smartbox, and Grid technology. So we wanted to partner. We reached out. We pitched them the idea briefly. Eventually, it led to a call that led to a fantastic partnership. And we really couldn't have helped. They helped us so much by teaching us all the tips and tricks of their platform in a short period of time so that we could build it, because we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. We wanted to go where the users were. And that's how we partnered with Smartbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at a very high level, we wanted to help. That's the entire point of this. It's to help the communities that we can help using this technology. So we wanted to integrate holistically into what they're already doing, because that automatically allows them to basically supercharge what they're doing without having to do something different. They can just go on the exact same platform that they've always gone and now see a new application, a new tool, a new way of expression, and be able to immediately use it. That was really why we started thinking about this as a partnership and a place to be.
But this is, you know, these are fantastic partnerships that work. And the MND Association has something called the Technology Think Tank. And in it, we have lots and lots of corporates and tech companies, and Area 23 is there, and all sorts of other groups, smart boxes there. And the idea is to get to know each other and think through problems. And you know what, kind of when for these types of problems, no one person has the answer. We know stuff, but we don't know it all. And we accept that we don't know it all. The technology think tank is there to help people to talk together, to put it all together, put all our knowledge together. And so, you know, what happened, I think there was, I think the head of Area 23, Tim, is it Tim? He was at Cannes. He was at the Cannes collecting loads of awards. I'm obviously sure of that. And he talked to Nick Gold up at the M&D Association about an idea. And it was just an idea, but it was a great idea. It was about how about getting AI-generated art for people living with ALS, MND. We didn't know, the answer was not apparent, but the idea was great. And so putting all together, we worked together. At the M&D Association, we have partnered with Smartbox forever, along with other groups. And so sharing our knowledge, just putting everybody together to talk about it. And it's no mistake that it's come out so well at Smartbox, because not only Area 23 Smartbox have just done so much sterling work to actually make it work, but also it's the stuff afterwards that really matters. It's like if people have a question, if there's a problem, it's like, you know, I'm a speech therapist, I can say anything I like. Mm-hmm. But with Smartbox, when as a clinician as well, I use them a lot. You know, if there's a problem and I'm in front of my client, I can pick up the phone and they will answer it. Smartbox will answer it. And that's the kind of service we all need for Mind's Eye. So it's kind of it's a collective that actually we all get the credit for, because although there are three of us, four of us on the call, there are actually, I think, probably 50 or 60 people that have worked on this project, and maybe more, to including five people with MND. And so putting it all together is just, you know, something that we can all take credit for.
Perfect. Yeah, and I did want to talk a little bit, taking a step back on the process in building Mind's Eye. So for Smart Eye's perspective, we are eye tracking technology company, right? So I'm curious to understand, for eye tracking specifically, how does that contribute to the concept of Mind's Eye?
Sure, I can take this one. So when we were pitching the idea to the think tank and showing it to them, we were tasked with creating a zero-step process, because it does take a long time to try to type all this stuff out, everything like that. We didn't get it down to a zero-step process, but we did get it down to about a one and a half-step process. So we ended up kind of mining a lot of great prompts that we had discovered on other platforms, and just kind of taking keywords that we knew were going to produce fantastic results. And we created the vibe section, where if all you want to do is type in a subject matter and then jump to the vibe section, you can automatically see it in wild and fantastic styles that we've put together, curated for them. And so it allows them to create fantastic artwork in a short period of time. And we've also, if you jump to the gallery section, and this would help if we had the demo up, but if you jump to the gallery section, we show you what that prompt says. So you're able to learn from it. You're able to see everything that we added to the prompt to get it to that level. So you can kind of begin to understand prompt structure and how you can start to innovate with it and riff off of it.
And there was a reason for that. We want to be able to give anyone, depending on their own personal level of interest with the tool, the ability to do what they want in that moment. So the vibe sections allows somebody to type in a prompt, very, you know, one word, hit vibe, boom. Now you have the thing that you want to generate it. But if you really want to get deeper and start writing prompts yourself, if you want to take the time, if you want to spend the energy, because you really want to be very specific, you can do that too. And I think so, understanding maybe some of the prompts that you see in the gallery and some of the art that you see in the gallery and what created that. And you want to take that in and do something with it yourself. Again, back to self-expression, back to this is all about you. We wanted to give every avenue or create every avenue possible to make sure that people were able to express exactly what they were looking for, not some version of it, but exactly. So I think that that's what we've accomplished in this. And I think there's clearly more to come, but I'm very excited about where it is today.
Awesome.
I think this is, you know, what's really worked here is that, you know, Area 23 have really looked after making sure that the creative, the way it's built is like super accessible. Smartbox have used everything they know to make sure that whatever people have, whatever accessibility needs they have, whether it be direct access, switch access, head mouse, facial gesture, your cameras, whatever they have, whatever they're using today, bring that. And that is just the joy of this project, because actually in a sense, there's nothing really new that has been invented here. We've just put existing stuff together and made it so much better, so much better. And I was just out on Twitter a couple of days ago. I saw people using it and using it for examples that I'd never. I thought they're using it, but in different ways that I imagined. And that's because we made it accessible thanks to, you know, Area 23 and Smartbox and of course for your cameras too.
Absolutely. So I'm curious if is there a genesis story of how you set up to develop Mind's Eye to solve, you know, these challenges that you saw? I don't know if you have any personal kind of stake in this product, but I'd love to understand kind of the backstory of how this came to be.
So do you want to go ahead?
I was just going to give a very quick intro from my own kind of personal experience. I had kind of been, you know, working with and seeing this community over the course of many years, and just getting the opportunity to talk to somebody who was very close to it, and that was Richard and team, I realized that there was an opportunity to literally go deep into a world that I really wanted to help and I really wanted to be part of. And so for me, just the personal experiences of the initial interviews, this is kind of like that genesis of what the idea is. We had a raw idea, right? Like Richard said, we'd love to be able to bring AI generated art to the MND community. That's kind of the larger, higher order thing that we try to achieve. But the idea of actually connecting with and creating a moment with somebody who's suffering with MND, that was something that was very interesting to me, to be able to have a conversation and be able to really understand that lived experience and be able to do something that would be extremely beneficial. So just the interview process of really getting to know them so that I could really understand and uncover what the challenges were, that was kind of the genesis of how far am I going to go with this? That's what really started to motivate me and started to bring me out of my box to really start to explore what is the lived experiences of this community and how can we help in a more kind of root level. So that's just kind of like how I got into it. Yeah. Evan, maybe differently, but.
Oh, I got into it because after Tim Hawkey returned from Cannes, he set up an internal think tank based around AI artwork. And the second he introduced us all to it, I was hooked. And I mean, like, you can have your own opinions about it. I totally understand. My opinion about it is it shows me something new. I really thought, you know, I really thought I'd live under the shadow of every great artist that ever lived before me. But this takes all of that and smashes it into a kaleidoscope. And just, I've talked with people, it is not something new. It's the bridge to something new, you know? And it was so inspiring to kind of see the possibilities. It was just showing me something new on a regular basis. And I was hooked completely. Yeah. And when I discovered about the Mind's Eye project and the Mind's Eye initiative at Area 23, I was blown away. I was floored. I love the idea of bringing this experience and making it accessible. And so I did everything I could to get an invite to that meeting, you know, and to be a part of that group. And from there, you know, it grew from there. A lot of these projects, these aren't billable hours. This isn't anything like that. These are projects that we take on because we believe in them. And I saw it from a very early on, the possibilities of what this thing could be and the scope it could be. And I'm just so excited that I got to be a part of it and help it become real mm-hmm. and be out there.
Honestly, it's such a joy working with these people, really. And, you know, honestly, it is. It is because, you know, people, the idea was, I just wish this was visual, because then we say, hang on, let's stop talking. Right. Let's show you how to generate AI art. And, you know, I just, what drove me to this is I'm really worried about AI, because AI is fantastic, is going to help our community. I'm very optimistic about the benefits of AI. The problem is, other than this project, no one, as far as I can tell, is talking about AI for inclusion or AI working with the vulnerable groups that also, you know, may disproportionately benefit from this technology. As an example, I was closely following a TED talk. It was 2 days long, and it had the great and the good of AI, saying where we're going, what's happening. And I thought that there were more than, I think there were 35 speakers, 35 speakers. And I was waiting for the speaker to come on to talk about accessibility and inclusion for all parts of our society, not the ones that are just generating the dollars. All parts. Mm-hmm. And I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, you know, this is the state. And the thing is, AI is so powerful. There are so many things that we can do. And, you know, people say, yeah, but, you know, well, it's just a pipe dream to have it. No. Mind's Eye has shown that AI can be inclusive, not just talking about it, showing it every single day. And this is very important, because there are lots of discussions in all sorts of companies, all sorts of ways that, you know, kind of, what should we do with AI? Well, look at Mind's Eye, see what they've done. And then, you know, let's just see how much more we can do with it. And the final thing is, assistive technology, here we are in 2023, almost 2024. And for people that, you know, use eye gaze to communicate, things have moved on, they can use it. But really, the speed of communication using eye gaze and switches and all the rest of it, we have work to do. Mm-hmm. We have work to do. And, you know, Evan said earlier, it's like a painting could be, 5,000 words. It really can. And so here we have extra modalities to help people get on with their lives, to share whatever they have, to bring what they have, so that the technology is not excluding anything. It's additional modality, and art is right here, right now, in Grid 3, through your cameras. And okay, let's talk about that.
One thing that I just want to add, just because it struck me from something that Richard said, something that Evan said. Richard said that what we've done is not anything new. We didn't create any new technologies. We put them together in a new way to really be able to give access to individuals who didn't have access before. And Evan said that, you know, this is a bridge to something that's new, not necessarily the thing that's new. And I'm okay with both of those things, because what it means is that we ideally can be a beacon to the rest of the community to be able to say, do more. You can do more. Use these technologies to do something more than the technologies themselves can do. But you have to look into it, and you have to have the passion to do it. That's what working with these folks has been for us as an agency. And I know that if we can continue to move on this path, we can inspire in the right ways so that we can ultimately help and benefit the communities that need it.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, kind of inspiring and this community, you know, people love to hear about user stories, right? So I'm curious if there is any favorites highlighting how these specific individuals are using Mind's Eye and the kind of impact it has had on their lives. Do you guys have any stories you could share about this community and how they're using this technology?
Yeah, I just think they're using it in ways that we never imagined but also in ways that are very powerful. For example, I mentioned about the man I work with who is in a care home, and actually it's because of funding, it's almost all for people with dementia. Mm-hmm. The long and the short of that is that in care homes like that, they tend to put people in front of the TV pretty much the whole day. And that's how things are. Yeah. And so I actually remember going to see him, you know, how are you feeling? Kind of. And he actually opened up Mind's Eye and he told me how he was feeling. And it ended up being a huge barcode. It was a huge barcode. There was nothing else. It was a barcode. And he was just like, that's how I'm feeling. And it's just like a barcode that's just like no character, dull, boring. That's how I feel. I don't feel like I'm anybody. I'm a barcode. And that triggered a huge discussion, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but also people do it for all sorts of creative things. But the nice thing about this tool is it's not only for the good times. It's also for how things really are. And actually, one of the big problems we have with MND, ALS, is that people feel like they're a burden and they don't really want to share. And they just feel like, actually, if I let other people speak for my behalf, then, you know, things might be better. And so here we have an opportunity for them to use another form of expression to help them share that doesn't take an hour to write. It can be the barcode said a lot of words in one image. So there you are.
I was reminded of Louise, an MD that we met she's featured in our video as well, but she ended up losing her ability to speak. And we came across her because we heard of the story of, you know, she lost her ability to speak. And what she misses most is just being able to be sarcastic with her husband. And it was like that little nugget of truth that makes us all human and the things that we take for granted every day was just very powerful, you know, and it was that experience. And then to watch the connection between the two of them, she hadn't even really used the app much before we connected with her. And she was using it very quick, picked it up very quickly. And then, you know, her and her husband were able to connect in a way that it seemed like had been bubbling up or had been just under the surface for some time. So it was just incredibly powerful to watch, you know, unfold.
Love that. Love that story. And someone who very much is sarcastic with their husband. I can appreciate that story.
Yeah.
Okay. Another kind of a loaded question, but as we are kind of wrapping up here, I would love to know what you guys are thinking about the future, right? So what's the next step for Mind's Eye? Are you already thinking about next iterations? What features are you really excited about? And then maybe, you know, do you have any advice for those looking to build these types of systems or to work with this community on helping them, you know, communicate?
So I'll maybe start from the back and talk about advice to folks who are trying to build this type of technology. So in doing this and in working with this community and trying to build a tool that represents them and is useful to them, you have to start with them. That is the key to everything. I think too often people have ideas of how technology can do something, and then they try and back into the community that it works for and try and retrofit the technology to fit the community and that doesn't work. At the end of the day, it's really identifying what the root cause and the problem and the struggle and the challenge is, because it's that tension that really allows you to find opportunities to create kind of adaptive solutions that really fit, that really feel purpose-built. So for me, I think the key is start with your community and build out from there, and the technology almost will fall into place. And I think more importantly than that, there's so much that you just don't know going into it. You think you know, and then you have a conversation and your mind is blown, your eyes are opened, and the technology that you know, the path you were going just doesn't make any sense anymore, and you have to pivot and do something else. So that, I think, is the really great place to start, and it just helps the process along. As far as where we're going, you know, maybe more personally than, you know, thinking about all of the things, we need to keep up with where the industry is going, because that's the thing, right? To Richard's point, you have these 35 people talking about how AI is progressing, and they're not talking about these communities. So somebody needs to pick up the mantle and start building these new technologies that are, you know, working. You know, large language models are becoming bigger. And how can that play a role in what we're doing? Is there a place that that can fit? We don't know, but that's something that I think we should all explore, because that allows us to look at our product not through the lens of what features can we add to it, but what ways can we help and what technologies can we use to help in the direction. So I would like the product to evolve in that way. And then ultimately, you know, we'll kind of see where that goes. But that's where my eye is focused right now. How can we bring the future of technology into what we're doing currently for this community?
Love that.
No, I completely agree with that. I think it's improving the model, continuing to improve the experience for the end user. And now what's great about this, now that we've launched, we're going to get feedback on it in real time from end users so that we can improve the product and just make it better. And, you know, super pipe dream, an art show in a gallery, in a real life gallery with actual, you know, just, you know, we blow them up, all the painting, we get people to come and attend. But I think that would be an amazing build on this experience as well. So it's just very exciting to be a part of. And I'm just so happy to see it out there and for people to use it.
Oh, my God, that is a super pipe dream.
I love that.
Let's do that.
Yes.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. An art exhibition. Yes. Yes. I mean, if there's anybody listening, I mean, please get in touch. Let's do that. That's such a great idea. You know, I suppose for me, you know, working in all these different big techs and, you know, helping out, it always seems to be the final mile is the hardest thing. And just to kind of let people know about it, let people kind of just kind of be comfortable with this technology. So my dream for Mind's Eye is for everybody to use it, you know, ALS, MND, whatever. And just to... just know it's there and just be yourself, because this technology is about people. I think that is the superpower of this technology. It's actually about people. It's not about technology. And that's also the thing about AI. It's about people. And yet we just need to just find ways to make it work for people, not some people, every people. Every people, everybody.
I like it.
Every people.
Yes.
So, you know, there is this think tank. There's the M&D Association think tank. It's there. We don't know where the ideas are going to come next. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you have an idea, or if you're a corporate, you want to get involved. But if you have an idea, if you're an innovator and have an idea to help people living with M&D, ALS, which, by the way, will probably help everyone else as well, because it's such a difficult condition, then let's get in touch. Then get in touch and start talking about it. What I've learned about the think tank is nobody has all the answers. Everybody is expert in one area, and if we talk together, we do something ridiculously good. And that's just how it feels with Mind's Eye. It feels like this is the start of something really special, but it's already started. So
that is an excellent segue into my last question, which was, do you have any specific call to actions for our listeners? And I don't know if you also wanted to touch on how can someone try Mind's Eye or where can they get it?
Sure. Mind's Eye is an app available on Grid and Grid for iPad. We definitely, our call to action is download the app and try it. Give it a try, play around, and have fun.
And get in touch if you have ideas.
Yes, that too.
Well, I just, this was such a fascinating conversation. And that's all I had for you guys. Richard, Evan, Franklin, it was such a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks again so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ashley. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Similar to our partnership with Smartbox, this Mind's Eye use case is a really heartwarming use of our technology to creatively empower those with disabilities. I personally was really inspired by this team's innovation and collaboration, their passion for empowering accessibility, and how all three have really honed in on the importance of human-centered design and impact. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the Human-Centric AI Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes. We're also on social media, so please reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram to share any feedback you have on the show and weigh in on the discussion using hashtag Human-Centric AI Podcast. Don't forget to rate us and comment with your feedback to help make the podcast more discoverable for others. Until next time, thanks for listening.